fans, welcome to the Organa Digest, your weekly briefing of what's new and what's neat in the Star Wars universe. We are recording on January 28th, 2019. This is episode 17, and I am your co-host, Laura Duncombe.
And I'm your co-host, Susan Bailey. Happy
welcome
to be back,
Organa
Laura.
Ugh, I'm happy we're back too. So there's actually kind of a lot of stuff going on this week, but it's very random stuff.
So, first of all, I'm super excited because the Organa Digest and us personally got followed on Twitter by Christopher Sean of Resistance. And boy, Resistance is really dealing it out to us. They are just catching us.
Hi, Christopher. We hope
you enjoy.
Hi,
Christopher. Great work. We're enjoying your work. I just feel like Resistance is really filling in the gaps for us in terms of, you know, the backstory of the First Order. And I hope that it will continue to fill in the gaps for us. I just feel like I'm learning a lot more about the First Order and about what it's been doing in the galaxy. And it's really timely for what's happening right now. And I think it's perfect for us to get caught up to episode 9. My personal theory is that if there is a time gap between episode 8 and episode 9, that Resistance might fill us in. Maybe it'll keep going without a time jump of their own. So I'm just super enjoying it. It passes the Bechdel test. I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's just great. I'm enjoying it. Bring it on.
It's pilots, my most favorite thing, but there's girl pilots and boy pilots, and I love it. I'm really excited. One of my husband's biggest gripes about the whole, you know, Force Awakens trilogy, the sequel trilogy, is that there's like not enough exposition. He feels like he doesn't really know where the Force Order came from. And I understand that, you know, Disney / Lucasfilm is like fleshing that out in some of the extended materials. So I'm glad that Resistance is sort of, we all have questions. And I feel like everything I hear about the First Order and like Hux in particular, you know, I'm thinking of like Delilah S. Dawson's Phasma novel. Like everything I learn about Hux, like I hate him even more. Like, and I love to hate him even more. So I'm excited Resistance is doing that job. And you can bring back Poe Dameron anytime.
And
I'm waiting for him.
I feel like we should probably also ask a real question, which is like, who is the real villain here in the sequel trilogy? Is Kylo the villain or is it Hux? Is it Snoke? So if he is the villain, I want to know his backstory.
Yes. He's like a sneaky villain, right? I mean, wouldn't that be really interesting? Because I have long postulated, you know, the whole reason we have Hux and Kylo is because they're setting us up for Ben Demption. Like, you don't really need two bad guys. You know, you have the Emperor and Darth Vader, and then Darth Vader turns. Like, you know, so I think
that
there's
a
real
possibility. Vader is, like, not the real bad guy. It's actually the Emperor is the bad guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think they might be doing that. You know, I hope they're doing that with Hux. But if they are, I'm 100% with you. Like, we need way more information about Hux. And I understand that they have to do it in a sneaky way because they don't want to blow it, you know, the big reveal. But also, like, we need more Hux deets. So Resistance, we appreciate everything you've got for us. Keep it coming. That's what we have to say.
All I've learned from, I mean, not all I've learned, but I have learned from Resistance that not only is Hux nasty, the whole organization is nasty. So, and they're underhanded and they're manipulative and they will not hesitate to do whatever it takes to gain power. So yeah, I have zero sympathy for the First Order.
Yeah, there's just something about them, you know? I mean, like, the Empire, you, like, kind of almost, you know, liked a little bit. Like, you know, they seem like they had their acts together and that they were ruling the galaxy in, like, a quasi, like, you know, orderly way, but the First Order just seems like they're a bunch of, like, I don't know, like, fascists or, you know, zealots. Like, they're just all kind of crazy, and they're just in it for, like, power for power's sake, and they're just, like, yeah, scarier in a lot of ways than the Empire, because I don't think they care about stability at all. They just care about power.
Yeah. And that's, they're not even really, they're not even ideologues. They're just power hungry.
They're just creepy. Yeah. So, I'm so excited for episode 9. We're all so excited for episode 9. This is all we can think about. This is all we can talk about. So, speaking of episode 9, if you are jonesing for a trailer during the Super Bowl for episode 9, it looks like we might not get it. A couple different sources, comicbook.com, Deadline, have said that they are hearing that there will be no episode 9 trailer during the Super Bowl. Now, they are not naming their sources, so we don't have this confirmed, but it makes sense to me, because, you know, I know that Solo had a trailer, but Solo was looking to get some hype, especially coming off of its, you know, storied production, shall we say. They were looking to get some good publicity rolling, whereas episode 9 has more publicity than, like, I think any film that's, like, ever existed in the history of film, maybe. So it looks like, you know, they don't need to get people pumped, because we are already all, like, overly, like, unhealthily pumped. So we'll just have to wait and see. But it looks like they might be saving everything for Celebration, which I don't really blame them. I'm just afraid of my poor, like, pregnant self, like, sleeping in the lobby so we can, like, get into the main stage panel so we can see the trailer with our own eyes before anyone else does, because that's, like, really all that I want in the world. It's just to see that darn trailer. Some things we do know about episode 9 is that Anthony Daniels, who plays C-3PO, is finished filming as C-3PO. He had a sort of bittersweet goodbye on Twitter. And I mean, you know, you mentioned before the show, Susan, he's been here since the beginning. You know, he's in, like, every single movie.
Yeah, he's been personally invested in this since the beginning. And he was one of those guys who, whenever, you know, it's like Boston Pops plays the Star Wars score, he would show up and introduce it. You know,
I saw him in DC once in, like, the early 2000s, and he was so into it. Like, it's just, you can tell he, like, lives and breathes this, and it's got to be weird.
You know, and who knows what, like, C-3PO's arc will be in, you know, like, what, will he have an end in episode 9? Will he continue? You know, this really could be the end of a long saga for Anthony Daniels. And just, like, I just want to send out a lot of respect to him, because he kind of, like, kept the hope alive, or, you know, kept something alive for many years, many years.
Absolutely. During the dark time. Yeah. He's been bringing the force for a long time. So, Mr. Daniels, thank you for everything you've done. And you will always be 3PO in our hearts. So, Susan, I'd like to introduce a new segment that I'd like to call Where in the World is Adam Driver and the Adam Driver Hair Walk? So, Susan, can you update us? Where in the world is Adam Driver, and what is the state of those luscious locks?
I can tell you where he was
his?
Yesterday. Yesterday, he was at the SAG Awards, and his hair was as long as it has been for, you know, a couple, you know, few weeks or a month. So one wonders, has Kylo finished rapping on episode 9? ? Because we know that before the SAG Awards, he was at Sundance, and before Sundance, he was in London filming something. So, right. So are they still filming? Are they done? I don't know.
Yeah, is he just yucking it up on the festival circuit? Like, when he's got work to do, does he need to get his beautiful behind back to Pinewood Studios and give us some more Kylo? What's going on? We don't know.
If he's done filming, why hasn't he cut his hair? I have so many questions.
I have a lot of questions also. Mainly, where can I get more pictures of him at the SAG Awards? I saw a few on Twitter, and they were lovely. So we'll keep you updated where Adam Driver is at all times, as much as we know. We will let you know. So come here for your Adam Driver borderline stalky news. I mean, we would never actually stalk him because that's gross and creepy, and these people deserve their privacy, but I feel like if you're in a picture that's like published, like on an official news source, like, you know, we know where you are and it's okay. So, you know, we're not really stalking, but we just want answers. That's all. Just some answers.
Help us. You're our only hope. Anyway.
Yes. So Susan, have you seen this poster for Star Wars Celebration?
I certainly have. I'm so excited because I've never been to Celebration before, and we're going to go together. And
I know. I can't believe that it's actually happening. I'm so excited. I just got cleared to fly today. Yay. By my doctor. So it's happening.
So it's definitely not heavy on the sequel trilogy. You know, Rey and Kylo are both there, but they're kind of at the bottom of the poster. But you see at the top, yeah, is really is Luke and Vader, and you see a whole constellation on each side of characters, mm-hmm, who span the prequels, original trilogy, and a little bit of the sequels. And so it seems like it's trying to appeal to the fan base of the entire 40 years or 41 years.
Yeah.
But what's really cool, I mean, one thing that we noticed is, you know, Padme is, you know, down at the bottom and she's kind of in the middle.
Yeah, she is.
You know, it just makes a person wonder, what does that mean? Like, why is Laura's space boyfriend Poe Dameron not on there?
That's an important question. Yes.
So this is a pressing question.
You know, because why not?
So,
but yeah, you've got this interplay between the red and the blue. They're actually on the Jedi symbol, which is interesting. I thought at first, yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, is that a clue? Is Finn force sensitive as I've always wished? But like Lando and Han and Chewie are on there. So like, no. Although the majority of the people on this poster are force sensitive. So that's really interesting.
But it's really reminiscent of the Jedi Prime image that you have on Octo, where you have one side is the light side and the other side is the, yeah, dark side. And there's a saber in the center sort of, you know, dividing that.
I mean, they've been teasing this for a long time.
Are we seeking contrast?
Yes. This balance thing. I feel like they've been sort of hitting us over the head with this for a long time. I think smarter people than myself, certainly, you know, like someone like Mary Claire over at What the Force would probably be able to tell me, like, oh, the first time they ever used, like, you know, the balance was here. And like this poster from this place, like, I mean, I know that she knows, but I don't know. But it's like, it does seem impressive. We're starting to accumulate a paper trail, right, of things that are pointing to this balance and having, like, Padme right in the, yep, literal center of this poster, and then like over the shoulder of Kylo and Rey. Like, it's just, it makes one wonder, as you said.
It certainly does. It, yes, makes the person, yeah,
yes,
it makes one wonder.
I have so many questions, but mainly like,
so,
yes,
so
mainly
thoughts,
how are we
so
going
questions.
To make it for the next 10 months and change? That's my biggest question.
I don't know.
Yes.
We're just going to keep podcasting
bringing you great
and hope
about
for best.
Adam Driver's hair length and other Pulitzer-worthy topics. Well, I know we're running out of time, but I have to sneak in my news of the weird. You know, this is near and dear to my heart. The Kansas City Zoo just recently had a trio of otters. They were actually born back in October, but they just named them. And they named them Han, Luke, and Leia. So if you happen to be in the Kansas City area and you would like to go see Han, Luke, and Leia, the otters, you definitely should. And they received congratulations and a benediction of sorts from none other than Mark Hamill, who said, "You otter, be proud of yourself." So thanks for bringing the dad jokes, Mark Hamill. And thank you, Kansas City Zoo, for keeping the forest alive for all of us. So after the break, you guys, there is an absolutely fantastic interview with Nick Martorelli of Penguin Random House Audio, who produces the Star Wars audiobooks. Oh, my God. I had to sit this one out. So you will get to listen to Susan and Nick have an intelligent conversation without me saying anything dumb at all. So don't touch that dial. Come back after the break.
Welcome back, listeners, to our favorite segment of the show, Around the Universe, where we talk to a Star Wars fan about something that's awesome or something that they're really excited about. So, welcome, Nick.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Nick, I'm so excited to have you on. Nick, if you all don't know, listeners, is a producer of audiobooks for Penguin Random House. So I understand some of your work includes A Certain Point of View, the Last Jedi novelization, Last Shot, and among many others.
Yep, the adaptations. That is correct. The adaptations of Solo, the second Thrawn book, Alliances.
Oh yeah.
And also some of the YA tie-in books, like the YA Solo, The Legends of Luke Skywalker, Pirate's Price that just came out.
I love The Legends of Luke Skywalker. That's one of my favorites.
That's one of my favorites too, right?
Yes. Okay. So first, to get started, I'm going to ask you our Getting to Know You Geek Out questionnaire.
Okay.
So first question, what is your favorite Star Wars planet?
My favorite Star Wars planet, I think, is Yavin 4.
Ooh, nice.
Because it's got that amazing architecture. It's mm-hmm. clearly been the base for a while when we see it in A New Hope. And once they go back to it in the expanded universe, there's all such more lore about the planet. So it's one of those places that I feel like has a history behind it that yes. you don't often see a lot in Star Wars.
Yes, definitely. Okay, what is your favorite Star Wars weapon, vehicle, or piece of technology?
I think this is a uncontroversial opinion, but it's got to be lightsabers. I think yes, lightsabers cool. are the coolest piece of technology. Blasters are guns. Everything else is spaceships are spaceships. Now, they have personality to them, but there is something beautifully contradictory by having laser swords in this more violent culture, and I love them.
Is there anybody's particular lightsaber that you're fond of?
It is Luke Skywalker, Return yeah. of the Jedi.
The green lightsaber.
The green lightsaber with nice. The sort of like ringed handle design. That is the one. If I were to own one, that would be it.
Nice. And final question, who is your favorite non-lead character? And you can interpret that however you like.
My favorite non-lead character, easy question, Wedge Antilles.
Oh, yeah.
I think
good dude.
He is one of the unsung heroes of the entire franchise. I miss him in the sequel trilogy. Like, I want more Wedge. He, in that original trilogy, he is always there. He does his job well. He's reliable. And he's never quite he's not quite hogging the spotlight, but he's just like, he's the guy that just shows up for work and does the work because the work is good.
And those are the people who, like, really you have to rely on to get the work done.
Exactly. He's no hero of the Alliance, but he's reliable, and that's great. I love him.
Fantastic. Well, before I start asking you Star Wars questions, I just want to let everybody know, fun fact, Nick and I are actually acquainted in the real life. Yeah, Nick and I are both part of another fandom, which is the Sherlock Holmes fandom. And in fact, this summer in June, we both gave presentations at a conference together. And
we sure did, the Scintillation of Scions.
Yes, and Nick gave a fantastic presentation. So it was really fun to see you there.
Thank you.
And so in that regard, this January, you were giving a presentation at the Baker Street Irregulars annual dinner, which had something to do with Star Wars and Sherlock Holmes. Can you talk a little bit about this presentation you gave?
Sure. So briefly, my argument Sure. So we were asked to talk about underappreciated characters in the Sherlock Holmes canon. And I argued that we don't really have underappreciated characters, but maybe there is somebody that we're not appreciating for who they truly are, because we're building them up to be something better, something bigger, something more cool than what they really are. Mm-hmm. And I talked about Irene Adler as being somebody who is built up beyond her appearance. So when we think of her, we think of something other than who she really is in the Sherlock Holmes stories. And to illustrate this point, I compared her with Boba Fett, who, when he shows up in Empire Strikes Back, has six scenes, a dozen lines, and then vanishes into the sunset. And yet he becomes so incredibly popular that he's brought back from the dead. He's made into statues and shot glasses and action figures. And he takes this cult of personality. And what I basically argued is that does him a disservice when we try to make him such an important character, because what we do in that case is forget about the most important thing that he does, which is by beating Han Solo and capturing him and turning him into, by the course of that capture, he gets frozen. And that's what turns Han into the kind of guy who can admit his feelings for Princess Leia. So it is the defeat at the hands of a minor opponent that fundamentally shifts this character, that makes him more human, makes him more accessible, and makes our lead character grow in a very, very substantive way. And if we want Boba Fett to be the cool, awesome bounty hunter who's always around and like, blah, 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 that's actually doing a little bit of a disservice to how cool he is in Empire when he just shows up, gets a job done, and leaves, and Han Solo has to deal with that repercussion. And I think that what I argued was that these are characters, they're really cool, but we have to all understand them all as plot devices as well. These are characters who are behaving in a certain way because that's what the story is, and we have to recognize them as such.
Great. I love it. I'm glad you got to tell me all about it.
It was a ton of fun. I said the name in the room and people were like, I'm sorry, who? But then I explained and it was all great.
Sorry, I probably would have like let out an audible gasp. So it was me.
There were some of them too. There were cheers. There were boos when I said Irene Adler was a minor character. When I said she was a minor character, there were boos.
Nick, this is another conversation. So it was
part two. We'll come back to this one.
So now let me ask you about your job, Nick. So you produce audiobooks for Penguin Random House, which owns Del Rey, which publishes many of the Star Wars books, correct?
That is correct, yes. Del Rey is one of our imprints, and they publish the Star Wars books. And PRH Audio does the audiobooks of, I mean, many, many audiobooks, but among them, I am in charge of producing the Star Wars series.
But you have a huge like repertoire of books that you've, or catalog, I should say, of books that you've produced, like sci-fi fantasy, like all kinds of other stuff too, right?
Correct. Nonfiction, literary fiction, kids' books. We as an audio group do a whole lot of them. And Star Wars is one of the things that I'm the most excited to work on.
Cool. Well, I saw on your resume that you started doing this about 2 years ago for Penguin Random House.
That is correct. Yep. I've been here about 2 years.
So I can imagine since that time you have had your work cut out for you. With the number of Star Wars titles that have come out.
It is true. I joined the team right after Rogue One came out in the theaters, I think. So my first one was actually Inferno Squad, the tie into the Battlefront 2 video game.
Cool.
And then I also worked on From a Certain Point of View that summer and leading into The Last Jedi. And then through that into Solo and now into Episode 9.
Cool. So, as an audiobook producer, what do you do? What is your role?
So my job is to read the books and then decide who the best narrator would be. How do we want to approach this book? Is it, in the case of the Thrawn series, is it one narrator? In the case of Last Shot, do we want to get multiple narrators in here to read the different timelines? And then it's up to me to hire a director to direct the actors in the booth and in giving the performance. The director also will do the sound mixing on the final product. And the director and I decide who we're casting. And then it's up to me to make sure that everything gets finished on time and delivered so you can download them or buy the CDs.
Okay, cool. And you have background yourself as an actor, correct? So you know a little bit about what actors do and are capable of, right?
That's true. I used to be an actor. So that's a fun thing to bring into this job when you're looking at it and you sort of say, well, this book involves a lot of alien voices. So we're going to have to make sure we go get our narrator, who's a great alien voice guy. Or this one involves a lot of canonical characters that we think of as sounding a certain way. So we need to make sure we hire a guy who can do impressions of all these people that you're going to recognize.
Okay, that was kind of answers one of my questions, which was how do you pick the right person? Like, I can think a couple of your people who, or a couple of your actors that you work with frequently, Mark Thompson and January Lavoie, do a lot of voices.
Mm-hmm. They sure do, and that's part of the challenge for me as a producer, thinking like, well, is this a book for Mark? Is this a book for Jonathan mm-hmm. Davis? Is this a book for Sean Kennan? Like, is this a book for January? So much of it is driven by the book itself. So, you know, for instance, the adaptations of the films, Mark has done the last two because he is such a gifted voice double. He can do Mark Hamill, he can do Harrison Ford, like he can do all of their voices in rhythm.
Yeah when I was listening to it, I was like, wait, is that Adam Driver or is that somebody pretending to be Adam Driver?
He also does a killer Yoda, so if Yoda is heavily featured in the book, that might be something for Mark. And Jonathan Davis likewise does a killer Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi. So the upcoming book, Master and Apprentice, Claudia Gray,
mm-hmm. yeah.
is going to be, Jonathan's going to read that because that is a lot of Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan nice. Hanging out and having adventures. And Jonathan's our go-to guy for some of those actors. But then it's also like, well, maybe for Legends of Luke Skywalker, it's like, well, so many of these characters are female. We should get a female narrator.
I was going to ask you about that because that was intentional on your part, trying to get a female narrator.
Oh, absolutely. And for other things too, like the YA adaptation of The Last Jedi, the way that that book was written, it focused very heavily on Rey and Rey's journey through the film. So we had Jessica Almasi read it because she's tying into Rey's story. Whereas Mark read the adult one. The adult one is more wide ranging. The adult one is more sort of like a general impression of the film. Whereas the YA one was written very specifically from Rey's point of view. So that is something that we think about as we are looking at these books and casting these books and, is it a man or a woman? Like, how do we get some diverse voices in here? What's the sort of opportunities for us to expand that talent pool and match the right voice into the right
awesome.
Content?
Awesome. So I listen to a lot of audiobooks. And for me, listening to Star Wars audiobooks is a really kind of distinctive experience. It's not like many of the other audiobooks that I listen to. Usually they have kind of like intro music, outro music, and that's about it. One of the things that's really cool for me as a listener is that there's sound effects or like a musical track practically throughout the entire audiobook. So as a producer, is there anything distinctive or unusual about the experience of producing a Star Wars audiobook that's different from others? Other than the fact that you can't talk about them.
Well, I think you've hit upon the biggest difference. Like, these books are fully mixed. They have sound effects, they have music throughout them. And that is to, you know, give them that Star Warsian flavor, as it were. Like, you know, the Star Wars films are so iconic in their use of sounds and their use of music and just sort of the full experience of it, that when we approach these audiobooks, we want to try to, you know, enhance that movie feel. Like these are carrying along. These are part of it. When exciting stuff is happening, you're going to hear the exciting music. You're going to hear lightsaber sounds. You're going to hear the ships fly by, because a lot of them are so, a lot of the books are paced as well as the films. We want to try to give it the same sort of flavor.
Yeah, it really does make me feel like I'm listening to a film. So success.
Thank you. And that is also sometimes part of the challenge, because we don't often try to make it exactly what the sounds are being described as. Like, you know, the narrator, we want to be doing most of the work, carrying you along in the story. The narrator is describing what is happening and giving you the author's words and the author's sort of indication of it. But at the same time, we want to use our music and our sound effects to help support what the author is doing and what the narrator is doing. So, you know, when Mark is playing Darth Vader, we'll put that vocal effect on him, so he sounds like Darth Vader, and he's got the breathing behind him and things like that. And that's just doing on the audiobook what you, the reader, are doing anyway. Like, if you're reading this book, you'd imagine Vader's voice, and you'd imagine Vader's breathing, and you'd imagine the snap hiss of the lightsaber. So we're going to give it to you. We're not going to, you know, do every sound as if it's a film or as if it's a, like a radio play, but we do want to sort of give you a feeling of what's happening.
It makes me think also now of when I was listening to the Last Jedi novelization, how during the Force Bond scenes, they sounded very sort of like echoey, or kind of like, you know, talking into a tin can from a long distance, kind of like it does in the film. So,
and we talked about that, like, here is a moment in the film where there is a very specific, here's a moment in the film where there is a very specific effect. So we can't quite do the same effect in audiobooks, like where the sound drops out and they're the only thing that's there. But how can we do something comparable to sort of set these moments off from the rest of the program?
So as a listener, you can tell just by the sound effects what is happening, or you're like recreating the movie experience in a way without having to say, and no, they're talking through the Force Bond. Like, you can make it sound like they're talking through the Force Bond.
Our job is a cool interpretive one, because we are working to support what the author has done. And we don't have the same tools that a film has. So we're using similar but slightly different tools in order to try to achieve those moments. Like, you know, they all start with the opening crash of the titles, which is great. It gets you in the mood. But, you know, but the whole thing's not going to be fully scored necessarily, or every battle's not going to have every blaster is not going to, you're not going to hear every blaster. But you'll hear some spaceships now and then to sort of get you in the mood as to where you are.
Well, Nick, we are about reaching the time of our usual interview segment, and I'm having such a fun time talking to you. Are you willing to keep going and come back for another 15 minutes?
Absolutely. Let's do it. Part two.
Awesome. Okay. So, listeners, we're going to wrap it up for right now with fantastic Nick Martorelli, and come back with next week with some more. So hold on to your seats.